Phil Dobby live on the North Shore's FM 99.3 with the Gremlins in the studio as well. But hopefully, we've seen the last of them. Still, Gary, are you on the line?
I am on the line this time, Phil, I think. Can you hear me?
Thank goodness for that.
That's two large pizzas, please, delivered to 14th Fifth Street.
Look, I will take any calls at all, even if it is someone ordering pizzas. Just glad to get the equipment working. I gave you a huge rap and an enormous build-up, talking about how we like to keep our finances separate from Facebook. You know, social networking is one thing. Money, you know, it's a very flippant thing. Money is very serious. And we like to keep our banks and our social networks as far away from each other as possible. So what is the Commonwealth Bank doing?
Well, this is an interesting thing. I mean, about 9 months ago, CommBank released a thing called Ka-Ching, which I think is a terrible name.
Awful.
But, you know, the cash register, etc., which was their mobile payments application. And 9 months ago, they released it for the iPhone. And about 2 weeks ago now, they released it for Android phones as well. Now, that tool had a way of paying by all sorts of methods. They had a pay to someone if you only knew their Facebook ID, which is fine because it would then contact that person via Facebook, tell them that someone had a payment for them, and then they would go and check in with their banking details in a secure way. But what CommBank is going to have out before the end of the year is the Ka-Ching for Facebook app, which will mean something inside the Facebook screen, which is then what you're using to do your banking. And they talk about it in terms of you can do all of your banking without ever leaving Facebook.
Just in case you missed that vital message or the photograph of the grandkids or whatever is holding you there.
Yeah, apparently their research is telling them that, you know, people want to be able to, well, I don't know whether they want to be able to do them, but Commonwealth Bank wants people to be able to do their banking without leaving Facebook, to pay someone, you know, pay them back for their share of the dinner the night before, or chip in for the slab of beer, or their share of the holiday to the snowfields, and have that part of the Facebook experience.
Right.
Now, the reason they're doing this, they talk about business, you know, money being a more social thing. The reality is there's an awful lot of people who are not banks starting to get into the business of doing payments on the internet. Now, we've already got PayPal. There is already Amazon Business Payments and so on. But there's all sorts of other players going to come into the market. And that's going to put extra competition on the banks. So CommBank is actually leading the pack here in Australia by getting in there first.
They saw it coming. So there's one I was made aware of this week called PIG. I think it's PYGG or something. And the idea of that is that, yeah, if you've got somebody buys you lunch and then you just send this message saying, hey, you know, I owe you for lunch. Here's $20 in PIG money. And sort of like the money circulates around and you have this sort of artificial currency almost of money with people owing each other.
It's going back to almost the late 1800s that various shops would have their own trade currency as well. And, you know, I can understand that in days where communication might have been bad or the bank's unreliable and therefore, you know, you'd hedge your bets and perhaps use your shopkeeper's money. But these days, I've got to stop there. I've got to say, these days, money is so great and banks are so reliable, and then I just need to think Greece.
Yeah, or anywhere, really. Yeah, that's right. Well, banks are reliable in terms of giving themselves extortionate handouts.
I think it's banks are terribly reliable if you happen to be a banking executive.
That's right. If you work for one, enormously reliable and the font of all future wealth for yourself. So it's almost like, I mean, we had this thing called beans, didn't we, years ago? I mean, that was sort of like the precursor to all of this, but that never really took off. Beans was a sort of like an internet currency. Was it too early, perhaps?
Look, I think it was too early. People need, you know, one of the elements of trust is it happening quickly and it's something you're used to and so on. And I think not everyone, but most people are now comfortable with the idea of doing their banking online. They're comfortable with paying for something at a business's website and expecting it to turn up. The banks themselves are much better at detecting potentially fraudulent transactions in that regard. The thing about it that I don't get, though, is why when you make a payment to someone via Facebook, and I get that, you know, it's just easier to go, look, I'll pick Jim Smith, my Facebook friend, rather than having to ask Jim what his account and BSB number is and all of that kind of stuff, although that's not really that much of a burden. But all that I get. What I don't get is why you would then want to post the fact on Jim's Facebook wall that you paid him $50. I mean, what business is that of anyone else's? And the kind of examples
But we like to share everything these days, don't we? Nothing is sacred anymore. We have to, every finite detail of ourselves, we seem to have this obsession with posting it on Facebook. So this is just another thing, I guess.
Well, yeah, and even Drew Unsworth. Drew Unsworth is the CommBank's general manager of online banking, so, you know, just a bit senior. He talks about how he uses Kaching to just, you know, it's his son's birthday, happy birthday, son, I've given you $50, and it's on the Facebook wall. I mean, you know, I don't know, is it because I grew up in the country, that I'm of a certain age where, you know, this was all sort of private stuff. You might say happy birthday, Jim, but you wouldn't tell the world how much money you'd given him, would you?
No, not really. Not unless it was an extortionately large amount of money. I mean, that's the...
Yeah,
I mean, you're going to
yeah,
get it. You get them on going,
there's
still
a word starting with W to describe that sort of person. Like.
There is. And they all work for banks, just with one quick...
There's rhyming slang there. That's very sophisticated.
But, you know, I mean, I'm with you. Why would you want to tell people? And in fact, you have to wonder whether the idea is flawed for that reason. But, I mean, also, is it secure? I mean, the idea of all this happening within Facebook, I mean, are we 100% sure that it's 110% secure?
Look, I have doubts about this because about two-thirds of what I write about is about information security. And the thing about the application, the banking app being in Facebook, is it changes the security message that the banks have been telling us for years about doing stuff online. I mean, the message was, to make sure you're at the bank's website, check the address in the address bar of your web browser, make sure it's the bank's address, check for the little padlock icon that says you've got a securely encrypted data connection back to the bank's website, and then you're good to go. Within Facebook, I mean, quite frankly, anyone can just plonk down their registration and say they're a Facebook app developer, and that gives them the right to put their apps inside the Facebook page. And then after that, it's very difficult for a non-technical person to tell whether that's the legitimate CommBank app or not. Now, that's where I have my concerns.
Yeah.
But CommBank, in response to that, and I've had both an on-record and off-record conversations with them, they say that their core banking system, CommBank has built a whole new one that operates in real time instead of waiting, you know, for money to transfer overnight. They spent more than $1 billion on it. They have connections out to other data feeds of other information about what you might be doing in your life, and they're a bit vague about what that might be, but they are supremely confident in their ability to spot a potential fraud to the point where they will guarantee to cover any losses.
Right.
So, you know, they're putting their money where their mouth is on this.
Yeah, but, I mean, are they going to put their money where their mouth is in terms of how quickly transactions move from one bank account to the other? If they've got this real-time system, if I transfer money into your bank account, does it happen straight away now?
CommBank, yes.
No. Oh, does it? Right.
Yeah, if it's within the bank, yes. If it's to the other banks, and here's the problem, also need to have a real-time system. And the banks they've kind of avoided biting the bullet for years and building these systems. I mean, CommBank had to spend, as I say, over $1 billion, a billion with a B.
Mm.
The others are following suit, but what's happening is that the Reserve Bank is now in discussions with them of setting a deadline for when they all have to have real-time systems up and happening.
Right. Okay.
And it's within a couple, it's within a few years.
Right. So that's going to be, I mean, beautiful to see when that happens, whether they still find excuses about why it takes so long for money to get from one bank to another.
Yes, yes. I mean, I don't think the banks are trying to make it slow. This is actually complicated stuff.
That argument, though, isn't it, that the money disappears somewhere and they're earning interest on it while it's not actually sitting in anyone's bank account? So they're going to
Yes, and that is done by some large retail chains. I remember a couple of the large retail chains did this at the end of each trading day at 5 5:30 or 6 p.m. or whenever they closed off all the tills, they would essentially count how much cash they had in the tills and lend it out for 12 hours on the overnight money market.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of that goes on. So the other thing, big technology story today, I guess, is that Microsoft has announced its new Office suite, Office 2013. I know you haven't really had a chance to have a look at this yet. Not many people have, because it was just released today in the United States. It's designed to look like Windows 8, which is this boxy thing, the Metro style, I think they're calling it, aren't they?
Yes, that is. It's making Windows 8 look like, really, the Windows Phone 7 thing with an opening screen that's made of tiles of different colours and images rather than the now traditional start button and start menu. I can see that Microsoft is trying to create a consistent look and feel for all this stuff to give the impression that Microsoft is now a new and better thing than the old Microsoft Office we all loved and hated in the workplace. But I can't help but thinking, at the moment, the vast majority of people use only the tiniest number of features of tools like Word and Excel and so on. And how much of this is Microsoft giving the veneer of newness, the veneer of change, to kind of persuade you that it's worth spending $X for everybody in your business and everybody in your house to buy the new version?
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because every single version of Windows, I've always thought, who's going to want that? You know, I mean, we've got everything we need now. Do we really need any more? And yet somehow we do, I guess with Windows 7, it fixed some errors that they had in the past. So that was a reason to upgrade.
Hang on. Bug fixes should be free.
That's right. They should be. You're right. Absolutely. And this was one big bug fix, wasn't it?
What the bug is called Windows. That's a bit kind of platform war zealotry. So I don't buy into those kind of arguments. But I suppose what I do buy into is the commercial reality for Microsoft. The Office licenses represent around about a quarter of Microsoft's global income.
Yeah.
And they're under a lot of pressure to convince people, as I say, to spend that money, because you've got Google creating Google apps, which for many people can be accessed free, and even for small business use where you're paying for certain features to do it commercially, it works out a lot cheaper. And increasingly, we're doing more and more stuff online. I mean, I do a phenomenal amount of writing, but now I'm finding that I don't write in a word processor, and certainly nothing as sophisticated as Microsoft Office. Mm. I just type an email, or I'm typing into a form on a website that allows the whole thing to be formatted automatically. Yeah. I mean, perhaps for people who write documents, books, etc., they need that kind of power. But really, that's a tiny minority of people, surely.
Yeah, I'm sure people in banks still use word processors, or maybe they get someone to use it for them, perhaps.
Yes.
Still, Gary, yes. Good to talk. And you're going to be a regular fixture on Balls Radio, so that's good to see. And
yes, I'm a creature of habit, so it'll be easy enough to do it.
All right.
Happy to see you next week.
No reason to sound so excited about it. There we are, Stilgarian. He's a writer for ZDNet, or ZDNet, however you want to pronounce it, a technology site, and he's heard quite a few other places around this town as well. Stilgarian, regular fixture on Balls Radio. If you'd like to take part in the program, 02-930-45198 is the number for you to call. We're here till 9 this evening.